Well, good evening and welcome. I tell you what, right now, and I know that God has a right now word for you. In fact, just before we began to come on the air, he shared this word with me and he told me to share this word with you. He says, "Milk, there are a lot of people who have a zeal for me, but not according to knowledge." He referenced me to go to 1 Corinthians, as you were, Romans chapter 10, verse number 2. And this is what he said. He says, "For I bear witness." This is Paul writing to the church at Romans. He says, "For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, a passion for God, but not according to knowledge." He says, "For they, being ignorant, are lacking knowledge of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So he said that there are many people who may have a desire for me. He said there may be many people who have a passion for me. There may be a lot of people who have a zeal for him. He says, but not according to knowledge. He said, in fact, it's gotten to the point, and he says, it's even like this right now today. He says that people are going about trying to establish their own righteousness. You have all kind of people saying all kind of things, saying there's so many different ways to get to God. And if there was a title I could give this today, it would be "Set the Record Straight." Setting the record straight. And it's going to continue on with what we was talking about last week, about how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life, and how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. So we're going to jump right into this tonight. But he says, Milt, he says, there are a lot of people who have a zeal for me, he says, but not according to knowledge. And because they don't have the knowledge of me, or they are unlearned about me, or haven't been exposed themselves to what it means about having the righteousness of God, he says, they are ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. Telling people, he says, you know, let your good deeds outweigh your bad. Or, you know, if I just do enough good, then, you know, I'll make it in. Or I don't have to go through your Jesus, even though the Bible says Jesus himself says he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no one who comes to the Father except by and through him. And other people are saying, you know, you can go to Buddha, you can go to Islam, or you can go to, you know, Hare Krishna, or you can go through the Roman Catholic Church, or you can go through the Universalism Church, or you can go to the New Age and all that. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you to set the record straight that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And how do you get to the Son? How do you through the Father get to the Son? Well, if you turn with me over to Romans chapter 3, I'm going to pick it up at verse 22, and it says it this way. He says, "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." So how do you receive the righteousness of God? Through your faith, or your total confidence, your assurance, your reliance in the Son, Jesus Christ. He says, and he says, now, who is it available to? To all and on all who what? All those who will believe. So all those who will, how do you receive the righteousness of God? Through your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's to all and available for all who what? Who believe. Why would you say that? Because there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean, to sin? Simply means that you missed the mark. God's mark was one way, and you came up short. And God says, you know, all of us, all of you have missed the mark. All of us from the moment that Adam and Eve bowed their knee in the garden, all of us have at some point or another missed God's mark. But he says, you know what? He says, how do you qualify for the righteousness of God? All you got to do is have sinned at least once. How many people have sinned at least once? All of us. Why? Because we were all born into sin as a result of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. So what is the Paul saying to the church at Romans? He says, for those, there's no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we have been justified freely by who? By God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, God's grace made it available for you through the blood of Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, God sent Jesus himself, and he set him forth as a preparation or a substitution by blood, that through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. So whose idea was it to make you righteous? Was it your idea or was it God's idea? I'll save you some time. It was God's idea to redeem you and I, to redeem the whole world from the curse of the law, to redeem the whole world from the law of sin and death, to redeem the whole world from the consequences of sin. God sent his own son, Jesus, to die for you, to die for me, to shed his blood, to pay the price for every sin, past, present, and future. In fact, it says in Isaiah 53:5, he says this, he says that he bore our iniquities, and he took sickness and disease upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. He became sin who knew no sins. He took on all the sins of the world for you and for me once and for all. And he took 39 plus one stripes in his body, that by his stripes we would all be made healed. And how did he do it? By grace. By God's grace, he sent his son Jesus to shed his blood on the cross for you and for me, to pay the price for you and for me, that through faith he might be able to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed. God is not looking at your sin. God is not saying you are not worthy. And he needs you to stop saying you're not worthy, because you already know you're not worthy. In your own abilities, you are not worthy. Glory. But in his ability, he made us worthy. How did he do it? By the shedding of the blood of Jesus on the cross. It took that paid the price of all sin for mankind once and for all. And what did he do? He gave us grace. His overcome sin, not in our own abilities, not in our own strength, but in his ability and his strength, so that we no longer had to be slaves to sin, but we can live in righteousness. So are you seeing this? It's not in your own ability. You can't earn righteousness. You cannot buy righteousness. You can't be good enough to receive the righteousness of God. And God says, set the record straight and tell you to stop trying to earn what he's already freely given to you. Can I get one amen? He's already freely given you, or made you, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus as a result of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And all he's saying, in order to receive it, you have to believe and receive. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the free gift that was made available to us. Now, he goes on to say that at this present time, he demonstrated at this present time his righteousness, that we might be justified, and he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, you didn't justify yourself. You didn't make yourself righteous. You did not give yourself right standing with God. God says, as I will demonstrate my grace towards you in the fact that I will, glory to God, justify you, because you have had faith in what it is my son Jesus did for you on the cross. That's why we say in Romans chapter 8, I don't say, this is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. He says the faith is nigh you. It's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It is the word of faith which we preach. The word is nigh you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. It is the word of faith that we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved, healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. You and I, in our own strength, in our own ability, cannot make ourselves the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not by, and let me help you with something. We have all struggled, myself included, with trying to make sure that I'm doing I'm dotting every I, I'm crossing every T to make sure I stay the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then one day, God interrupted my regular scheduled program of trying to make myself the righteousness of God. He says, why are you trying to earn what I've already made available to you through your faith in my son, Jesus Christ? He says, you can't earn it. And what happens is because you keep trying to earn it, you cause yourself to fail more and more. And he said this, he said, my people, remember we started off saying, my people have a zeal for me, but not according to knowledge. He says, my people spend so much time trying to think about the things that they should not be doing that they never get around to doing the things they're supposed to be doing. He says they're so focused on not doing the things they're not supposed to be doing. He says that they never get around to doing the things they're supposed to be doing. Can I help you with something, ladies and gentlemen? If you begin to focus on doing the things that God told us to do, guess what you won't do by default? The things he said not to do. So simple, a child could do it. He says, when you begin to believe you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of your faith in Christ Jesus, you will begin to see yourself that way. And guess what will happen when you begin to see yourself that way? You will begin to act that way. You will begin to carry it out because you have made a decision to focus on doing the things that God's word says, which by default is polar opposites to the things he told us not to do. Now, have we come to the understanding that God says it is because of he says, even the righteousness of God that is through faith in Jesus Christ, which is to all and on all who what? Who believe. It didn't say you had to earn it. It didn't say you could do enough good works. In fact, it says in Isaiah 64 and 6, it does says this. It says, but we are all like an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So when you're trying to establish your own righteousness and your own strength, apart from doing it God's way, he says, it's like a filthy rag. No matter how well you think you are, how good you think you are. Remember the rich young ruler? And he says, good master, tell me how to receive eternal life. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? He says, there's no one good but God. He says, you know the commandments. Love your mother, love your father. Don't commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. And the young man says, all these things have I done since I've been born. All these things, I've already done all those things. So he's believing that he's already done enough good things. But Jesus said, looked at him. He loved him. And he says, there's one thing you lack. The young man looked at him and he says, one thing you lack. He says, go sell all that you have, give to the poor. He says, store up riches in heaven. And he says, take up your cross and follow after me. Now, this guy in the natural seemed like he had got everything right. And in the natural, we would call him Brother Pray Right, or we call her Sister Do Good. And in the natural, it looked like they had it all going together. But there was one thing, or we like to call it your choke point. What's your choke point? What's that one thing that if you don't overcome this hurdle, that every time it comes up, it will trip you up and keep you from fulfilling the plans, the purpose, and pursuit that God had for your life? What didn't happen when the rich young ruler, when Jesus said, go and sell all you have, give to the poor, he says, and store up treasures in heaven, he says, and take up your cross and follow after me. He saw what Jesus said as a loss. But Jesus even said in the same sentence, he says, and you will be storing up treasures for yourself in heaven, which means you are going to, when you overcome this choke point, He says, then when you overcome this choke point, then as you begin to take up your cross and follow after me, when you start dealing with money issues and stuff like that, it's not going to trip you up and cause you to want to turn back, give up, cave in, and quit. He says, but when you do it, if you do the things I'm saying, he says, you will find out you will have the very thing it is that you desire. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying this today. He says, you have been trying to establish your own righteousness off of your good works. And you've been saying whether you're good or whether you're bad off of your good works. And he says, but when you have faith and you believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, he says, you qualify as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, and I've already given you my grace, my abilities, my strength, that you're able to overcome sin and no longer be a slave to sin. In fact, it says it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. We're still setting the record straight. For by grace, by what? By grace, by what? By grace are you saved. That word saved, sozo, healed, set free, delivered, made whole. Through what? Through faith. He says, it's by grace are you saved through faith. He says, it's not of yourself, so you can't earn it. It is the gift of God, not of works. It is a free gift. You and I can't earn it because God has already made it available to you. He says, it's a gift of God, not of works, so you can't earn it, lest anyone boast and say, I was the one who did this good, and I was the one who fed the hungry, and I was the one who did these things. He says, this gift, this free gift that I'm making available to you, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it's not by your works. Now, as a result of realizing that you are the righteousness of God, it will cause you to go to work to do what? Not to earn it, but because you're so grateful, you're so thankful for the fact of what it is that God has already made available to you. There's nothing that he could ask you to do that you would not be willing to do. Why? Because you know that you did not earn the fact that you have right standing with God. It was God's idea to make it available to you, and all you and I had to do was to receive it. See, we find out here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, for he, talking about God, made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you and for I. When did he do that? When he was on the cross, when he shed his blood. When did he made him sin for us? For what reason? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? In the sweet by and by, when we all get to heaven? Absolutely not. The moment that you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are then, in God's eyes, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, we find out in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, he says it this way. He says, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, what happens is, in accordance to Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians 13 talks about how, you know, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been translated or transitioned into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. When did all that happen? The moment we received Jesus we believed and had faith and acknowledged Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the moment that happened, God made the great exchange with us. He took out that old sin nature, and he placed in you and I, he placed in everyone who's received Jesus as Lord and Savior, he placed in us his spirit. What spirit? The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came on the inside of us, it made us brand new. In fact, we took on God's nature. Now, if you are born again, you have the nature of God on the inside of you, which and God has justified you. He's no longer holding your sins against you because Jesus has already paid for your sins, past, present, and future. And now that you realize you are the righteousness of God, or you're in right standing with God, you no longer have a desire to do those things that you used to do. But even when you get started, man, you have to begin to renew your mind by the word of God so you could understand how righteous people live. See, when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and it's by grace through faith are you saved. But what else begins to happen? Then you begin to renew your mind by the word of God so you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And what will you begin to do? You will begin to learn and begin to live like the righteousness of God. You begin to live like people who are righteous will live. How do you do that? By studying the word and being doers of the word and not hearers only, so that you do not deceive yourself. Romans chapter 8 also says this, and this is where we want to set the record straight. It says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he or she is not his. A lot of people say we're all children of God. God says that's not true. He says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, if you do not have the Holy Spirit who's on the inside of you, who has made you born again from above, made fresh and new from above. He said, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are not his. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Because if you have Christ, if you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, if you have the Holy Spirit on this inside of you, your body is dead. What it says, you're dead to sin. It didn't say sin was dead. It says you are dead to sin, but your spirit, the Spirit is life. Your spirit is life because of what? Because of the righteousness of God that is now in you. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, how do you get the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to dwell in you? The moment that you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior was the moment that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which was the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, came on the inside of you. If that Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you, it says, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, my brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh or to our five physical senses, our old desires. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then he goes on to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. How are you going to be led by the Spirit of God? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that led Jesus while he was on the earth, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that made your spirit brand new from above, that same Holy Spirit that is in you is also the Spirit that, because he dwells on the inside of you, he says, if you are led by that Spirit, then you are sons in God. Then he goes on to say this. He says, for we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, which means that when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, when you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that old spirit of bondage that you used to have before you received Jesus, you no longer have that spirit. And that's why when people say you are still got a sin nature and you're still bound to sin, that is a lie. Now, the nature of sin is still very much alive in the earth. But whether you yield to it or not is a decision, because God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is more than enough for you. For when you are weak, then are you strong, because His Spirit enables you to overcome any sin, any iniquity, any transgressions. The decision lies with you. He says, "For we did not receive the spirit of bondage to get it fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption." What spirit of adoption is that? The Holy Spirit, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that lives on the inside of you, Himself, He bears witness with your spirit that we are children of God. And if children of God, then heirs of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, you, ladies and gentlemen, you see, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you have made a decision to believe on the fact of what Jesus did for you on the cross, when you believe that He shed His blood on the cross for you and me, when you believe that He paid for our sins, past, present, and future, when you believe that because you believe in Jesus Christ, that God, by His grace, through your faith, has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that God was the one who justified you. God was the one who made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. And as a result, the Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of you. And when you're led by the Holy Spirit, then what are you doing? You're acting just like sons of God. And when you're acting just like sons of God, He says, you realize that you're no longer a slave to sin, but you are a child of God. You realize that you're no longer bound by the spirit of bondage, but you have received the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that dwells on the inside of you, the same Spirit, glory to God, is on the inside of you right now. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says this: we know this, that where the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we are made whole. We are free. We're in right standing with God right now. Setting the record straight. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by grace through faith, because you believed on the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, on the fact that Jesus shed His blood for us, on the fact that He paid the price and He bore our iniquities and sins on His tree, and by His stripes we are healed. We are dead to sin, but alive unto righteousness. We're no longer slaves of sin, according to Romans chapter 6. We're no longer slaves of sin, but we're alive unto righteousness. He has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you get that? How do you act out on it? How do you receive that? Well, in the corners, Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It is the word of faith, hey, that we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say this prayer with me, mean it from your heart. Confess it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart. Say this with me: Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God. I believe He died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe He was put in a grave, but now He's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and speak with the evidence of speaking in tongues right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how do you receive the righteousness of God. How do you become the righteousness of God right now? By your faith, by grace, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will receive it when? Not in the sweet by and by, but right now in the name of Jesus. Now, next week when we get up, we come together, we're going to be talking about the Spirit of God and how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and all the benefits that come with understanding who the Holy Spirit is as the Spirit of God in your life. On behalf of Ignite Nation and Pastor Julian and myself, I want to thank you for joining us. Have a great evening. God bless you. Bye-bye.